We are beginning a series on discipleship starting this morning. And when you think of discipleship, you should think about the fact of being a follower of Jesus. Every believer ought to faithfully follow Jesus. In fact, once you surrender to Jesus for your eternal salvation, if it is genuine, you are a follower of Jesus. The question is, are you following faithfully? And over the next several weeks, we're going to study following Jesus, the heart of a disciple. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impressions. Oftentimes, we think of discipleship, we think of one person building into the life of another. And rightly so, because that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He poured his life into their lives, and then they were to then turn around and go and make disciples of others. And we ought to do just that. However, in the New Testament construct, the word disciple in the Gospels is used 238 times. The word disciple or disciples, 238 times. In the book of Acts, it is used 30 times. And in the epistles, the word disciple or disciples is used 0 times. That's interesting. Now, in the Gospels, the word church is used 3 times, and 2 of those times are in one verse. And in the book of Acts, the word church is used 17 times. And in the epistles, the word church is used 50 times. So there seems to be this transition from the one-on-one, I call it sculpturing, of building into the life of an individual, which that's what Jesus did. And we ought to be doing that to one another. Not just one person. Now, there may be one person that you're discipling and saying, hey, come on, let's study the Bible together, but not to the neglect of the one another's in the church. So as we go through this series, I want you to understand that when I talk about discipleship, I'm not merely talking about or just talking about meeting with one person for a period of time and then moving on to another person. Discipleship is that and more. So that it's not just sculpturing into one person's life, but kind of a rock tumbler effect of the church, where we bump into one another's lives and we benefit from the one another's in the church. And so I want to make sure that we begin this series understanding the matter of discipleship in the context of the church. In our American culture, we as Christians can tend to focus upon and pride ourselves as lone rangers, right? I can do it myself. But not to the neglect and the importance of the one another impact that the church ought to have on the whole, or as a whole, as a body, as a family, as a building where each part must do its work for the benefit of the whole. So discipleship needs to take place in the context of the local church, or else it is sorely lacking. In the scriptures, you don't have a picture of a big giant thumb growing to the neglect of the rest of the members of the body, or disproportionately to the members of the body, right? We are all to be growing together. And if there is a thumb that is growing out of proportion, it ought to say, hey, come on, let's all be growing together, right? Because the growth is not just merely personally, but corporately. We ought to be growing together as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you helping others grow? We all know we need to be growing, right, in our faith. We all know that. But the question then is, how are you helping others, plural, grow in their walk with Christ or in their discipleship? Jonathan Lehman, co-author of the book Rediscover Church, which is a very new book. In fact, it's being distributed now. We're planning to study that during Men of Faith, by the way. He says, Quote, through the virtual church and through internet preachers, you get the gospel declared. But it is in the actual gathered church that you get the gospel displayed. Isn't that good? And again, not negating or minimizing our efforts in declaring the gospel through the internet. We have the online service taking place. You're watching online, and I'm glad you are able to do that. We encourage you when you or as you have opportunity to join us to do so. And we ask you to do that if or when you're able to do that. Because the gospel is declared and all over the world through the internet and through the live streaming and online services. That's awesome. I'm glad we have that opportunity. It's something of which all of us are a part as we contribute to that. Praise God for that. But it's through the gathering of the church that the gospel is displayed through one another. And that's what we want to talk about. This matter of discipleship. It's not just so that you can grow, but so that we can grow. And we all ought to be growing in our discipleship. The church is to be all about discipling one another, and discipleship is all about the church. Now, shifting gears, being from the Midwest, over the years, and many of you just driving through the countryside, you see all kinds of farming take place. And the fields, they get prepared, and the planted, and the crops grow. And just by observation, we see fields being prepared by chemicals with ammonia, nitrogen, herbicides, pesticides, tilling. You used to see the fields all tilled up, and now it's no-till. Very seldom do you see tilling take place. And there's a lot that goes into that I don't understand, I'm sure. Some of you are farmers, and you can like, yeah, well, he forgot about this, or he didn't say that, you know, and that's really important. The fact of the matter is the farmer works with his soil so that when the seed is planted, it produces a good crop. And praise the Lord, in our area, I hear that the crops are going to be great this year from all indications. But they're great because of good and healthy soil. That's what we want to talk about this morning in relationship to discipleship. I want to look at discipleship in light of one of Jesus' parables in Matthew chapter 13. Turn there if you're not already there, beginning with verse 3. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 3. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. And with their eyes they can barely hear, and their ears they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Let's just pause there for a moment. Jesus here is explaining that he's explaining that parables help the believer gain insight into God's word. A parable is designed to teach one main truth. There are other things you might learn through that. Don't take every aspect of a parable and try to apply it, but Jesus is trying to teach one main truth through a parable. But a parable veils truth to those who scorn or even reject the word of God. In fact, Matthew Henry in his commentary says, a parable is a shell that keeps good fruit for the diligent, but keeps it from the slothful. What Jesus is teaching is that, and listen carefully, the heart of the true disciple will readily receive the word of God. The heart of the true disciple will readily receive the word of God. So listen as we continue. As Jesus says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. Here's your take-home thought this morning. And that is, the heart that follows Jesus thrives on his word. The heart that followed Jesus thrives on the word of God, the words of the Lord Jesus. A parallel passage in Luke chapter 8, in verse 11, which tells the parable of the sower from Luke's perspective, Jesus says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. All right? The seed is the word of God. And following Jesus means that you will prepare the soil of your heart to receive his word. The heart of the true disciple will readily receive God's word. And it's evidenced by putting into practice his word. That's the fruit, verse 23 there, the bearing of the fruit. So the evidence of the wholehearted disciple is determined by your attitude toward the word of God. Evidence of the wholehearted disciple is determined by your attitude toward the word of God. Look at verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. So we want to look at the four types of soil that Jesus describes here in this passage, which indicate one's attitude toward the word of God. The first one is the footpath. The footpath is the hard-hearted individual, the one who is indifferent to the word of God. Verse 3, he told many things in parables. The sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured them. The seeds were right there for the picking, and the birds just had a feast, devoured it. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. The soil here is the hard-packed soil of a pathway. It doesn't care what comes along. This is the person who hears the word doesn't understand it, meaning it doesn't even consider it. It bounces off of them like a seed on a hard path. Unwilling, it literally means that this individual is unwilling to wisely connect the dots, to put it together, to pick up what's being put down, right? This individual just really doesn't care. When I was a kid, I remember this happening, and my dad has commented on it more than once. We had an individual that would attend services, and every Sunday, this guy clipped his fingernails during the sermon. You know, just would sit over on this side, as I remembered, and it would just that little and just drove my dad nuts. As a kid, I knew it was happening, but that would be the evidence of someone who just didn't care to connect the dots. Now, God knows the guy's heart, all right? And maybe he was just a phenomenal intellect that could multitask. I don't know. But the point there is that if you are ready and willing to receive the word, you're gonna attempt to connect the dots. We'll get to that in a minute. This guy doesn't. All right? When the seed falls on the path, it's just indifferent. Doesn't really care. You know, it's no big deal, doesn't matter. So let's look at some characteristics of the footpath. First of all, it's impenetrable. This is the hard-hearted person. You know, when soil gets wet and muddy and then it dries, it can get hard. In fact, going back to my childhood days, we had the garden, and I mean, this thing was 3.5 miles long, and we had to weed it by hand, you know. And, you know, Dad was, now, if it rains, let's let it dry out before you work the soil, because if you try to hoe the garden while it's wet, it gets really hard, and it would. I don't know what happens there, but when it gets hard, it's just like impenetrable. That's what this is. It gets beaten down. And oftentimes, if you walk on a muddy path, it gets like a rock. And the if you try to sow seed on it, it just bounces off of that. And it doesn't care what comes and goes. You know, you just have the cart path of drugs and alcohol and sex or whatever it is. It's just impenetrable. It just doesn't care. It just comes and goes. Has guilt and a seared conscience, just hardened to spiritual things. It's impenetrable, but it's also dangerous. Did you see that in the text? The evil one, that Satan, comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Anything on the path is vulnerable. Gets walked upon, gets snatched away. The birds come along and snatch it away. God's word has little impact or little influence. Doesn't want to pay attention to the word of God. Just, you know, any opportunity here is just ignored. It's dangerous. There are many distractions. Doubt. Could be stubbornness. It could be pride. I have my own ideas. Or I like what someone else says about life. And I don't need to listen to this religious stuff. That's the kind of attitude that this person might have. Many have had their faith snatched away by an articulate, unbelieving college professor. Ken Ham has written a book called Already Gone. And oftentimes our youth go off to secular universities and they're just the seed of the Word of God is snatched away from their hearts by an unbelieving, very articulate, bright college professor. And how important it is for us to build into the lives of our youth. You know, you think of the expense of a youth group our Ignite program and all, you look at that and say, but we need to realize how important that investment is. Not to the neglect of the family. That's why we have a family life pastor, to come alongside and encourage families. And dads, moms, your first priority is to husbands to their wives and wives to their husbands, of course, but then in building and discipling our children to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And then the church just comes alongside to help with that. We don't take that from them. Don't think, well, I send my kids to youth group and or children's programs and so on, and so they're good. No, you need to be vitally involved with your kids to find out what they're learning and make sure that you are teaching them the Word of God. But then going back to the church, your children benefit from others in the church. They're part of the church too. But how important that is. Because once our kids are gone, they can be vulnerable. Let's pray and make investments into our children's and youth's lives so that when they do leave the nest, so to speak, that the seed is not snatched away. Another characteristic is it's hopeless for growth. If the seed bounces there and it's snatched away, there's no growth. No shelter, no entrance, no life. My friend, don't be hardened to what God has to say. If you're here and you have been an individual that you have just zoned out during the ministry of the word, whether it's here or whether it's in the home or elsewhere, ask God, you know what? I need to change. God, help me to gain an interest in your word. Here's a second type of soil, and that's the stony, shallow-hearted heart. This is kind of an emotional response. Verses 5 and 6 speak to this. Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Jump down to verse 20 that explains what this is all about. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The seed falls on rocky or stony ground. And a hard, rocky surface I just remember when I did a lot of rock climbing back in the day. And when you do rock climbing, of course, you're walking across rocky ground oftentimes. But there were some times where you would step on a patch of ground and it would kind of slip and slide. It would move under your feet. And you had to really be careful, especially if you were at the top of the cliff. It always scared me when people go, oh, wow, this is really neat, you know, and they'd be leaning. I'm thinking, man, all that ground just has to move just a little bit, and we'd have a mess on our hands. Because oftentimes it would look like it's stable, but that top layer of soil would move and slide, and you could just peel it back, and underneath it was just hard rock. That's what you have pictured here. Some characteristics. The seed quickly springs up, indicating an initial joyful reception of the word of God. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. This is the person who's like, oh yeah, they're just all, they appear to be all in. But any change, according to this text here, is in the flesh. It's surface, it's superficial, there's no depth, there's no heart change. And so not only does it quickly spring up, but it's quickly starved. Verse 21, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. It has very shallow roots, no downward growth. Beneath the emotion is the hardness of a stubborn will. not liking anybody telling you what to do, including God. Quickly starved. And then ultimately completely scorched. Verse 5, they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. No depth. There's a lack of stability because there's no spiritual growth. There's no inward nourishment. You've heard what withers the root strengthens the rooted. Tribulation, difficult times cause the shallow to wither, but causes the mature Christian to grow. I think of James chapter 1. My brothers, count it pure joy when you face trials of many sorts, because you know that the trying of your faith develops perseverance. The trying of your faith, the shallow-rooted individual has little endurance. And when the difficulties come, they're gone. This is the pruning, this is the purging that must take place in order to see who is authentic in their walk with God. The shallow profession tends to fade. If, in fact, 1 John, if they were genuine, they would have stayed with us. And you cannot become spiritual without growing. And growing sometimes takes time, and it's difficult. It can hurt sometimes. The pruning can hurt. The idea here is don't allow your emotions to govern you. And your actions, don't allow your emotions to govern your standing with God. I don't know about you, but there are times where I wake up and I'm like, I don't feel like a very spiritual Christian. Right? You know, there are times when you go through a difficulty and you think, where is God in all of this? And that's where you have to say, well, it's not according to my feelings. It's according to principles. God is with me. He promises that. And he is here. And he is in this. And he's up to something. He's up to something good. I need to find out where and how he's at work and get involved in what he's doing and expect good effects. God is at work, even though I don't feel it. Even if I don't even see it, that's faith. As opposed to emotions. The person who has a shallow heart will say, well, that's it, I'm done. I'm out of here. Verse 21. This individual endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The word fall away comes from the word scandalize, from which we get our word scandalize. This person gets offended. And there are times when, let's be honest, we're in a church with 200 other sinners in the church, right? And some people are going to say some dumb things to us, and some people are going to say some things that might hurt us. The question is, how are you going to deal with that? The person with shallow roots is going to run. And it's sad. You may know people who, they were involved in church years ago, or maybe not so long ago, and they just said, you know what? They got hurt. And they may even say, you don't realize how hurt I was. I'm not denying that there can be hurtful things that happen. But how are you going to deal with that hurt? God says, through his word, that he wants to strengthen you through the hurt. And I just fear that there are many people around in our culture who are, and maybe even watching today, been hurt. I'm done with organized religion, right? It's just not worth it. But again, let's think about the context of discipleship in the church. It's not pretty sometimes. It can get messy. But through that, God wants to grow us. Don't be one who is shallow in their faith, shallow-hearted when it comes to the Word of God. Again, it's just interesting. That word is scandalize. And this person is described by the stony soil. Here's another type of soil, and that's the thorny, half-hearted soil. Double-minded, verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. By the way, let me go back to that other. I'm not denying hurt. And if you have been hurtful, you need to go and do your part to settle matters as well. All right? I'm not just saying, just stick it out, right? I'm saying that we all have a part in mending hearts. All right? Thorny, half-hearted individual. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Let's look at three characteristics here. First of all, the soil is abundant. Soil's abundant. It starts out looking great. It's good soil. It's fertile soil. There's enough soil for the good seed and the weeds, right? And the thorns. And the thorns get sown among them as well. The thorns are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. The world and riches promise success, satisfaction, security. That's what the world promises. The seeds of the world, success, satisfaction, security, it's all a lie. If you try to find success, satisfaction, and security in the things of this world, God has a way of showing you that's not where it is. That all must be found in Jesus. And what this individual does is he places the word of God along with the word. This individual is not repentant. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. This would be the Sunday Christian. Right? This is the person that looks and acts good on Sunday, but on the rest of the week just goes along with the rest of his life just like it was before it expressed any kind of interest in spiritual things. I go to church. What's the big deal? You know? That's the Sunday Christian. And continues to participate in things that were present even prior to any kind of profession. The soil is abundant. The problem is it's preoccupied. And you might put it this way, preoccupied. Right? There's something was there even before the word. It's preoccupied with the things of the world. The natural things come first. The cares of the world and the riches of the world take priority. Those things push it out. I will go to church. I will listen to the word of God. I will be involved in all of that if something else doesn't come up. If I don't have anything else to do. Preoccupied. There's no forsaking. There's no turning away. In biblical counseling, we call this preconditioning. And we ask ourselves, are there any preconditioning issues? The preconditioning is the habits and behavior that if an individual was participating so often in the past that it becomes habits and behavior affecting current circumstances and behavior and thinking. And I think there are a lot of individuals have a lot of preconditioning that takes place. Time with God is not a priority. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And ultimately, just unfruitful. It says there in verse 22, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. It causes me to think of Matthew chapter 7. You're welcome to turn there, but if you're taking notes, jot it down and check me out later. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The cares of the world choke them out. It's interesting that and I learned this from my mom and dad in the gardening as a kid, that if you let the weeds grow and didn't give it any attention, you might as well just write your garden off, right? I mean, it just, they would take over. Maybe some of you have gardens like that, right? It's just like the weeds tend to just take over. It's never vice versa. I've never seen the bean plant take over the garden. You know, I've seen them become abundant. We've picked a lot of beans and snapped a lot of beans when I was a kid. I remember that. But that's because we kept the weeds down. They just tend to choke everything else out. The person who's not growing in his or her walk with the Lord has no grounds upon which to claim their assurance. Many people, and again, I fear for those who say, I got saved when I was 12, man. What are you talking about? I go to church every Sunday. But there's just no fruit. There's no evidence or little evidence. Again, God knows your heart. God knows your heart. But if there's no growth, you can't claim assurance. God knows where you are spiritually. But Scripture says that the true Christian, the true disciple is going to grow. Let's look at that. Look at the fertile soil, the wholehearted disciple. It's fertile, wholehearted, healthy. Verse 8 and 9. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold and another 60 and another 30. Here are three qualities of the fertile soil, and that is a prepared heart. The fertile soil is prepared. It's an object of care. It's like we said earlier, the farmer that has a good crop spends some time in the field preparing the soil. And they have all kinds of devices now that monitor the condition of the soil. I had one farmer show me in his combine that he could drive, as he drove the combine, somehow the combine evaluated the soil and said, this patch over here needs more of nitrogen. But this patch is fine, and this patch needs something else. And that, it was amazing. And that farmer, from all I know, is a very successful farmer. Gives attention to the soil. So the qualities here, it's prepared. A prepared heart. It's an object of care. It's ready and receptive to spiritual things. And it starts with belief. That's the prepared heart is a heart that believes, and it starts with salvation. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you? Paul tells I believe it was the Philippian jail, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe. It starts with faith. Do you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again on your behalf? You deserved eternal death, as did I. But Jesus died for you. Do you, you just simply believe, surrender to that belief that Jesus did that for you. And then upon belief, there's growth. When you believe, you continue. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you look for the opportunities to from a prepared heart. You look for those opportunities to listen to and the preaching and the teaching of the word of God and the listening of the word of God, the reading of the word of God. One of our men right now said, you know, I just started on YouVersion. You know, you go to YouVersion and find it right here. And you can get the notes and everything like that and go to the Bible. And you can hit... Okay. Oh, I got to turn the sound on.
You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask.
You see?
You ask and so, do not receive because you ask
okay, now how do I shut it
to
off?
Spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Do you not know
that
with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
I'll just turn him down. but he walks around while going about his day and his business and listens to the word of God. Might not catch every word, but that just spoke to my heart. Man, here's a disciple of the Lord Jesus who wants to hear, know, and understand the word of God. And I'm confident that's not the only time that this individual hears the word, but is committed to the study of the word and the reading of the word as well. That's the idea behind this. The evidence of wholehearted discipleship is determined by your attitude toward the word of God. Do you look forward to the ministry of the word in one fashion or another, or multiple fashions? The fertile soil is going to say, you know, and you'll grow in that. You'll desire it more and more, yes. But the point here is you are ready to receive it. Another quality is an understanding heart. Comprehension is essential to the gospel. It's essential to salvation. It's essential to continuing to live out the gospel. The seed, God's word, needs freedom to grow. This is opposite. Remember the hard-hearted footpath where he was unwilling to connect the dots? You sit there, just kind of sleep through the service, or, you know, clip the nails or whatever it is. This person is opposite. Now, I'm not reprimanding you if you choose not to take notes on Sunday morning. My point is that this individual is like, bring it on, Pastor, bring it on, right? You know, I want it. I want to hear it. It's an understanding heart. And it's very interesting. This person who hears the word of God understands it. Isn't it interesting that all of them hear the word? All four soils hear the word. One of it bounces off. Another one, it's real shallow. Another one just mixes it up with everything else, very eclectic, you know. But this one understands it, receives it, and understands it. Wants to connect the dots. Putting it together. Luke 8 and verse 15 says, adds to this, says, he holds it fast. Isn't that good? He seizes it, keeps it, retains it, has the idea of remembering it, which involves memorization. When's the last time you memorized a passage of Scripture? seed's not free to grow until it's covered. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And without the understanding and the application of the word, it's meaningless. It's useless. John 13:17. Now that you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Don't be merely a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Put it into practice. So that brings us to the fruitful heart, third quality, an understanding heart, but also a fruitful heart. You have prepared heart, understanding heart, fruitful heart. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, another 30. The measure of your understanding and application has a lot to do with the extent of your fruitfulness. What does fruit look like? Well, abiding in Jesus that you may bear fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Those are the qualities that are going to be evident and that you want to see grow, and you want to grow in those areas of your life. To readily receive the word. That's the challenge of the morning. To readily receive the word. Look forward to the ministry of the word and the reading of the word, the listening to God's word and applying it to our lives. Personal change is an evidence of growth. That's thriving. And thriving indicates life. Things that don't grow shrink. So as you receive the word, you have the intention of saying, okay, I need to live this out. And I don't think anyone has arrived when it comes to the hearing of the word and putting it into practice. We all need to grow in this. Some of you have heard messages about this. You can't even count how many times. But you know, you still haven't arrived, right? We can all grow in this. And that thriving indicates life. But you know, there's another element here, just in closing, and that is that life also, an indication of life is reproduction, right? And very interestingly, Jesus talks about the sower sowing the seed. Doesn't tell us who that is. I believe the sower is the Lord Jesus, right? But as his disciples, we're to do just that. We can't make people understand the word of God. We can't make people receive the word of God. We can provide environments to help to that end and to do so effectively, but we can't make people comprehend and connect the dots. That's a work of God. Interestingly, all we have to do, and he tells us, is just sow the seed. You know, and that's what they reach in a bag and just broadcast the seed. Broadcast, just sow the seed. And the more seed sown, it's going to fall on all kinds of soil, but some of it's going to fall on fertile soil. And so as believers, let's just sow the seed. Let's sow the seed of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You live out your testimony, but tell people about Jesus. Just tell people about Jesus. He died for them and he rose again, providing for salvation. Just tell them to believe. And some, just like you and I, some will have fertile hearts and will grow. They will become disciples. And we're going to teach them to do the same thing. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, help us to receive your word, to be open to all that you have for us through your word, and to be fertile soil, have fertile hearts, to be wholehearted in our discipleship. It starts with the word. We look forward to what you have for us in the days ahead through your word, but it starts with the word. Help us be receptive. I pray for those who are not, for one reason or another, I pray for those who may have been offended, and we're sorry to hear about those things. But I pray that they would, their eyes would be open today, that the power of your Spirit would open their hearts to realize that being offended should not keep them from the hearing of your word, the ministry of your word, and the one anothering of church. We have that opportunity to build into the lives of one another. And thank you for our ministry here and the commitment of this church to be committed to the word of God. And the entrance of your word gives life. And so I pray, God, that we would be open to growing as disciples as we receive your word, and that we would then be fruitful. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, that I pray that for you, that you continue in prayer to ask God to work in your heart, to be open to his word, and to thrive in that, to be excited about the reading, the listening, the studying of memorization, the application of the word of God, and to grow. Maybe you may be in the word, but may you be growing in that in one way or another. Make that commitment. Say, you know what, I need to grow in this area. Many of you are faithful in that. Rejoice in that. As you continue in prayer, I encourage everyone to fill out a connection card, and you can do so online through our various means, but also through our physical card out here by the offering receptacle. And if you have questions about salvation or how to grow as a disciple, we want to help you with that. Maybe you're kind of plateaued and you're like, how do I get off of the plateau? And if it's personal and private, check for pastors only and just jot down. It may be just a general prayer for the congregation. Say, pray for me that I would grow in my faith. And we will pray for you. And then, of course, turn your card in, and again, you can do that through the offering receptacle as well. I pray, Father, that we would all grow, that we would all love you and want to hear from you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.